This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
What are you asking exactly? I'm so confused by your question.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Well, he wasn't confused by this question. Is Brock Purdy playing? Nope. Is Nick Bosa playing? Nope. And that might be an equal concern. You threw out an interesting question a second ago, which is sort of like, which one is a bigger deal?
Right.
To have to play without. We'll get into that in a second. And because we want to really kind of talk that out and season outlook with all of you at 888-957-9570, taking your phone calls right now, and we want to let you hear everything that Kyle Shanahan said today about Brock and Nick and Brandon Allen, who will start. We're going to do all of that in about 25 minutes or so. So that's all coming up, and we really want to focus on it, which means we should probably take a minute right now and fade the dibber.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Tiblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Well, last night they weren't just home dogs, but that is their nickname as well, and them dogs were barking, and the Cleveland Browns don't only cover, but they win the game outright, and so you are very, very much not hot.
No.
And you are not trying to get back to 500 this week either.
No,
a full two games under, and that spread, it's like Darren Ruff, it's on the move!
Totally.
The spread is on the move! 5.5 now, all the way up to 5.5 with no Brock, no Nick. The Packers favored, Dan.
Well, I was going to say all week that if Bosa was out, I was just going to take the Pack. If Bosa was in, I was going to take the Niners, all the while thinking that Brock Purdy was going to play. The news now, Brock out, Bosa out. The spread has ballooned to 5.5, but man, I can't put my faith in this team with a backup quarterback. Even though their backs are against the wall, Green Bay also highly motivated to win. 5.5 is a lot, but not too much to scare me. Go Pack, go. I'm going against the Niners, which is rare. I'm taking the Pack and laying the 5.5. Go, go.
Go Pack, go. I do enjoy that, except for when they're playing the Niners.
Yep, fair enough.
But I'm comforted by your pick.
You going to take the Niners and the points?
I don't have to do a damn thing. I just sit here and listen to you.
I asked you a question.
No, I'm staying away.
Okay.
That's all I want to know. You know, when you make a pick that I firmly disagree with, you know what I do.
You start clapping and cheering like a monkey. Fed. And then Grandy and Lucas are in there doing the do-si-do, pumping their fists.
Dude, we run around the room.
Whatever, you got one right. Are you happy?
Like a clam dance. It's like a square dance in here when you make the wrong pick and we feel it. Like we feel it with our bones and our bellies.
Let me ask the room then. Is anybody taking the Niners and the 5.5 in there?
Yep.
Okay. Good. I love it. I hope the Niners can win and cover.
I got to think about that, but I'm not running around chanting fade. I don't even know who the hell's playing in this football game. At minimum,
Brandon Allen.
Right. Is Trent Williams playing?
Maybe Jalen Moore.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't even know.
This is why I, in real life, bet it on Monday when it was at 1.5. Not expecting Brock to be out, but thinking, you and I talked about it, Nick Bosa, it didn't seem like was going to be able to play.
Sure.
Well, I hurt my other oblique, and I've got now two obliques, and they both hurt. So I didn't think that he'd play, which tells me you got trouble on a defense that doesn't have any other game wrecker.
I think this is actually wonderful for Nick Sorensen. Let's see you coordinate, dude. Let's see it. And I'm not like holding you to the performance when you're without your top players. But what I do think has to happen is you have to have a different approach.
Such as blitzing?
Yeah. Like I said this to you the other day. The whole point, the whole like eye of the storm of this idea of Nick Sorensen and his vanilla ice cream is Nick Bosa. That's the whole point of the whole defense. They're rushing four. Because they think they can rush four because Nick Bosa. And by the way, the metrics will tell you they're usually right, at least for 3.5 quarters. But anyway, you had those numbers the other day. Nick goes out, and Seattle couldn't do a damn thing all day. Nick leaves, and they did whatever they wanted.
Yeah, 30 plays, 186 yards, which is 6.1 per play, 3 scores on 3 drives, 2 TDs and a FGA, and that's going to do it.
Yeah, and that is 17 of their 20 points.
Correct, without Nick.
And they win the football game.
And this offense is better, and the thing about it, about Nick Sorensen and blitzing, I don't think that they have the personnel to blitz.
Maybe not, but you have to do something.
Right.
You can't just rush four and sit there with a bowl of vanilla ice cream and put your feet up on an ottoman and go, we're good. You're not good.
Well, you're allowed to.
You'll lose.
I agree.
You'll lose. You're going against one of the best pass-blocking offensive lines in football. You're going up against one of the most raw, talented quarterbacks in all of football. He can move. He's got an absolute howitzer of an arm. They're at home. They're motivated. Their receiving core is healthy, which is like seemingly never the case. But they are right now with Dobbs and Watson and Reed. They got all their things humming, man. And so you're going to have to do something. And again, I'm not going to hold you like, oh, you better hold the Packers under 17 points or you stink. I'm not going to do that. But, like, there is a piece of me that's like, good. Can we see, like, just do something.
Something, right.
Do something and let us see what you're trying. Because there's no way, they can just go vanilla in this game. And if they do... then I think fans are absolutely right to say some things the following day.
Well, they may not go vanilla, but they're not going to go full-on Neapolitan or Spumoni or Jamocha Almond Fudge. They might go French vanilla. They might go vanilla with a dab of a chocolate chip here and there.
Let's see it.
This team is not built to do what I want. They blitz the second least amount in the NFL, and their blitz pressure percentage is in the middle of the pack. So you're not suddenly going to lose your best pass rusher and start rushing 5 and 6 all the time and have your rookie and your inexperienced corners go out there on an island.
Well,
it just doesn't seem to me to be the way that this team approaches it.
It's not. You're absolutely
Steve
right.
Steve Wilkes lost his job because he blitzed too much.
And you also have a healthy, talented, young receiving core. Do you want to leave all of your corners on an island? No, although the cornerback room is as healthy as it has been all year long. Renardo Green is now up to speed. And my understanding is that Charvarius Ward is expected back for this game. And D'Amador Lenore is a young star. Is Ward in?
No, he's out.
Oh, he's out.
Yep.
Never mind. Take that point and throw that in the trash, too. So, yeah, like that's you're right that you're not going to put those corners on an island. And in fact, that's not the way Kyle Shanahan likes to do things anyway.
Exactly.
But that's my point. My point is you're in a really bad spot. So therefore, to me, that's when coordinators coordinate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
You got to coordinate.
Luda.
You got to go out there and do that thing. So I'm interested to see what they try because they're going to have to try something.
Do you want the full list, the full injury report for the Niners? Let's do it. Tatum Bethune out, Nick Bosa out, Jacob Cowing out, Kevin Givens out, Brock Purdy out, Charvarius Ward out, John Feliciano and Trent Williams questionable.
Yeah.
McCaffrey and Kittle officially cleared and good to go.
Oh, Kittle's in.
Yeah, McCaffrey too.
Well, I never thought McCaffrey was going to be out.
And I'm wondering why that you two back there love the Niners, not love, but are betting on the Niners plus the 5.5.
The bid is called Fade the Divers.
Yeah, I think I think their reason is you picked the Packers.
No, that's great.
And for a lot of people, that's all the reason they need.
But they don't always jump in with both feet. Sometimes they will tiptoe. Sometimes they will kitty foot in there.
I don't think they jumped in with both feet. Again, I didn't see arms and limbs flying around the room like we did last night when all three of us absolutely threw a complete party.
Last night,
yeah. Yeah, because you picked the Steelers. And all of us were feeling real, real good about them dogs.
Yeah, Jameis Winston, I underestimated him.
Yeah, so it was just like, you know, gut feeling, weather equalizer, Thursday night, coming off an emotional win for the Steelers. They don't score touchdowns, even though they did score, I think, one out there last night. But anyway,
Jaylen Warren.
Yeah. I guess they scored two then, huh? Because Russell Wilson had a touchdown pass too.
Yep.
Wow, they scored two touchdowns and still lost.
Yeah.
Good Lord. But anyway, like, I don't think anybody feels that way. No, how can you? How confident can you be in the 49ers right now?
Well, if you want to talk about their six most important players, two are definitely not playing, and a third is a game-time decision.
Well, list those. Who are their six most important players?
I would say Brock, Trent, Christian, Fred, Nick, and George.
George, okay.
That'd be my six. Okay. I mean, that's a rough six, but I think that's fair. The quarterback's always number one, and he's out.
It's interesting. I think for the last couple of years, a lot of people would have put Debo on that list, and suddenly now he's fallen off.
Well, he's not on the list. I wouldn't put him in the top six now.
We certainly did last year.
This is not last year.
Yeah,
and what he's done this year has not been top six worthy, in my opinion.
No.
I would even argue that Juwan is more important than Debo right now.
Well,
because Juwan has replaced Brandon. Brandon was more important than Debo last year. Brandon's ability to be a guy who gets open, and now Juwan is doing that.
Well, not based on how things played out. I mean, the offense completely, when Debo left against Cleveland, that's what kicked that three-game losing streak.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just Brandon in general, I think, was a more important player. But this is more a point to say, if you don't have Trent, and I said all last year that I thought he was the most important player on offense. This year, maybe not as much, but you always want to have a quarterback, protect the quarterback, and go get the quarterback. And you might be without all three of the critical pieces in that that computation. All three. But yeah, fade the dipper. You guys are right. I'm not getting this one wrong.
Again,
I mean, I'm allowed to. 17 and 19 is on the phone. Yeah.
I mean, if I can.
I locked it.
I mean, if I can psychoanalyze you for a second and your weaknesses as a better, if you want me to.
You can. Allowed to. I can't stop you.
Well, I think that a better leans to favorites because they're like, oh, well, the Packers are the better football team. Right, but they have to cover 5.5 points.
I get it.
Like, that's
I wonder what my record is with favorites as opposed to dogs. It's a big ask, Grandy. I know you have the spreadsheet, but
get in there. I wonder how many dogs you've even picked so far this year.
It's funny you say that because in my confidence pool, I noticed early on that the majority of the high scorers came when the favorites were heavily, like, when the favorites won a lot.
Yeah, people bet favorites.
I've been betting a lot of dogs in my confidence pool, and I've done very, very well.
There you go.
Now, on the air and in the bit, I just pick the picks that we pick, and I don't just try to lean dog just on principle.
No, there's no principle to it. It's just funny that when people see a game like that and they're like, oh, the Niners are hampered. Well, the Packers are going to kill them. The Packers. Packers minus whatever.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, if you made the Packers an 8-point favorite this weekend, it'd be like Packers.
See, that gets tough.
Yeah.
For me, 5.5 is... I mean, it's kind of a manageable number.
It's a lot, though. Yeah, what do you got, Grandy?
You are 10-9 when betting favorites.
Okay. Huh. So that means I'm 7-10 on dogs.
That's more dogs than I would have guessed.
I bet 19 favorites and 17 dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Okay, yeah.
Apology accepted.
I didn't apologize.
You tried to psychoanalyze and you were wrong.
No, I wasn't. You've bet more favorites than dogs.
Barely, but you the way you were saying it, you were trying to portray it like I'm some sort of a favorite sycophant. Somebody who just drools and slobbers over favorites.
I wasn't trying to portray anything. That's my take on what, like last night, that was what your weakness was.
Yeah, points like the dipper here.
Steelers to the Browns? Steelers are way better. It was clearly a Browns night.
Yeah, that was, you know, Thursday nights are funky. And last night, I admitted going in, was not one that I loved either way. So, you know, you got to make a pick. And I missed that one.
Kyle Shanahan on is there a problem beyond this Sunday with Purdy?
I don't want to say there's long-term concern. You know, we got the MRI on Monday. We thought he just needed some rest and really weren't concerned about him not being good this week. But when he started up Thursday, just surprised him, surprised us how it felt. So we had to shut him down. And so I really don't know what to think of it. You know, the MRI doesn't look like that. So it should be all right. But the way it responded this week, it's really up in the air for next week, so we'll have to see on Monday.
You know what I hear there that we didn't really talk about?
Yeah, I got something too.
Yeah, they got no freaking idea what's going on in there.
Well,
it's not reacting the way they think it should be reacting based on what they think is going on in there.
And he got the MRI Monday, not Wednesday or not yesterday when he came off the field.
Wait.
Kyle said when he got the MRI Monday and stuff, and you know, based on that, we didn't think that it was going to be that big a deal and stuff, and it hasn't reacted well.
Maybe there's two MRIs, because they did immediately announce that Brock has shoulder soreness, right?
Right.
But my impression is, because I think that's pretty standard when you come out of a game with an injury, and I don't mean leave the game, I mean when the game's over,
right.
You come in Monday, you go through treatment, and if you report an injury, maybe they do an MRI, and then maybe they did another one yesterday when he left.
I wonder about that.
Here, let's hear that again.
I don't want to say there's long-term concern. You know, we got the MRI on Monday. We thought he just needed some rest and really weren't concerned about him not being good this week. But when he started up Thursday, just surprised him, surprised us how it felt. So we had to shut him down. And so I really don't know what to think of it. You know, the MRI doesn't look like that. So it should be all right. But the way it responded this week, it's really up in the air for next week. So we'll have to see on Monday. Yeah,
I don't know, but I'm
wondering if he got a second MRI.
I mean, it sounded like that yesterday. And yeah. I know John Lynch earlier today referenced that the MRI, they felt good about where the MRI was.
Right.
But obviously the shoulder doesn't feel good. So you can you can tell people the pictures say whatever the pictures say, but that's not telling the whole story.
Exactly. And if he had an MRI Monday and they looked at it and they felt like it wasn't going to be that big of a deal, which is what he said, that tells me that the Monday MRI didn't show anything of a real dramatic damage. And so the MRI was clean, but he still had shoulder soreness. And so you're going to shut him down, and then you try it again on Thursday. And when he goes out there after two periods, it already is starting to be a little sore or whatever, and you shut it down at that point. You could do another MRI, I guess, but I don't know if anything's going to show up in the MRI. It could just be a bruise. It could be shoulder fatigue. It could be a number of different things that wouldn't show up on an MRI.
Yeah. Let's go to Ronnie and Tracy. We'll let you hear Kyle Shanahan in full in approximately 10 minutes or so. Ronnie and Tracy on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Ronnie. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Listen to Dibbs picks. Here's what I got to say. If the Lions stayed at six, the last time the Niners were a 6-point dog, I believe, was when they went and played them in the divisional playoff game against the Packers. So here's a 3-team parlay, all in favor for the Niners. Okay? Niners, money line. We need this win. We can take a loss next week, and then we got to get a roll after that. We need Seattle to win this week, so add that to the card. Last leg, you got to get Philly. Got to get the dub for them because we need the Rams to go under 500, give us a chance to at least have a chance to get to the playoffs. That's all I got.
Ronnie, those are money line, all three of them?
All three.
Okay.
I want winners. That's the Mike Singletary parlay.
Yeah.
He wants winners.
He wants to parlay the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Eagles.
I want winners.
Seahawks minus 108 on the money line.
Okay. I want people that want to win.
Eagles minus 146. Niners plus 200.
Plus a lot, yeah.
So that will probably pay you about 6.5 or 7 to 1 odds on your three-team money line parlay. had to take it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Hit you with that Friday tick.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's, you know, I guess it's two dogs and a favorite. Or two favorites and
two
a dog,
favorites
rather.
And a dog.
Minus
one. Well, the Cardinals and Seahawks are almost a pick 'em.
Plus 873.
Oh, so problem. Even more than that. Yeah, 8.5 to 1. Mm-hmm. Plus okay. 873.
Okay.
I lowballed it. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That sounds tasty. It's
cash me out one time.
That's so probably not going to happen.
Well, I mean, the least likely of those obviously would be the Niners on the road at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Seattle, that's a coin toss. They're mm-hmm. home and they're getting 1.5. And Philly at LA only laying 2.5. That's where one of those, huh?
Yeah. Where are you seeing Seattle getting 1.5? I'm seeing them as a pick'em.
FanDuel, plus 1.5.
Really?
On the duel.
Damn.
It's minus 122 getting 1.5, which means it's probably about to move to 1. Usually when those odds get to minus 125, they click at 0.5. So that thing might jump down to Seahawks getting 1.
Yeah.
Home dog.
I'm seeing it as pick'em where I throw M&Ms around.
In the UAE.
Yeah, Belize is,
you
Belize.
Better Belize me.
We Belize.
Thank you.
Anyway, 888-957-9570. What is your outlook now on the 49ers season with Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa both out this weekend, possibly Trent Williams as well, as they hit the most important and most difficult portion of their schedule? And also we know about the disappointment in the first 10 games coming out of their 5-5. It really does. It feels completely like season on the brink. I get that. But for me, any thought or talk about the NFL draft, any thought or talk about the NFL draft has to, at minimum, wait 10 more days. You have to wait 10 more days, in my opinion. Because even if they were to go out and have a total stink bomb at Lambeau Field, for all we know, a week from today, Brock Purdy will be announced back in. They will go to Buffalo and be impressive on Sunday Night Football. Who knows? And if you do walk out of these next 10 games, or next 10 days, if you walk out of it 6-6, you're going to be right in the thick of it. You're going to be right in the thick of it, and I would argue probably still at most a game out of first place in the West. That's my guess.
Yep, could be two games out. You just don't know. But for me, it's never time to look at the draft until you absolutely have to. And I don't believe in the idea of tanking when you're 5-5. You can't tank enough to make it actually matter. And you know, you want to go out there and maximize this window that you have, and you're not going to do that if you're a team that fancies itself as a good team and a contender. So even if you get to 5-8, if things go really bad and you lose the next three and you're 5-8 and it looks like all hope is lost, okay, then you can start talking about starting Josh Dobbs and let's see what Garendo can do and Pearsall and Cowing when he's back, and you just play the kids fine at that point. But we are a long, long way still from that.
We're a very long way from that. I would argue, unless you're like a really, really awful team, you don't even start thinking about that stuff in the month of November, no matter what. Because there's just too many things that can happen. Now, if you're sitting there right now and you're 2-8, okay, fine. You can think however you want to think. But quite frankly, I mean, I'll preview the next 10 days. Even if they end up 5-7, you're still going to be in the first week of December, and you still technically can go be a 10-win team. That's still going to be on the table, even if they lose these games. And so, you know, we'll wrap the injury conversation into it. By then, we'll know more about Brock's injury. We'll also know more about what Brandon Allen looks like. And so all of those things could affect the way that that we feel about this. But none of that takes away what an unbelievable gut punch this is. I do think that you at least let your mind wander to the phrase lost season. I think that's probable. It's probable right now that this is an incredibly unfortunate lost season.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
It's not done. No, I'm just, again, probable.
It's possible
betting,
still.
Betting favorite.
Well, depends on how it goes. You can suddenly win on Sunday, and he could come back and be healthy, and you're 6-5.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I do think that if you wanted to like balance out on the one side, lost season, on the other hand, playoff run and you wanted to balance those out going into the last couple of days, I still think that playoff run was a heavier probability than lost season.
I agree with
but
that.
But now with today's news,
yeah, I
believe the scales have shifted,
agreed.
But not so far that everything is now into the lost season.
No, listen.
But you mentioned, 10 days.
I ain't changing my 125 Pacific time plans.
No, but if the next 10 days go really bad and you get news about Brock and it's like, yeah, he's going to need 4 weeks and Brandon Allen isn't the dude and Trent isn't able to go and you lose both, well, then now we get to 5-7. It's like, what are we even doing here? But we're still a long ways away from that.
Long way away. Tony in the city. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
The silver lining in this is at least we can stop talking about this ridiculous notion of getting rid of Shanahan and blowing up the team. it's just the whole situation sucks for all of them. They want to win just as much as we want to see them win. They're all doing their best, and they're dealing with a whole bunch of injuries, and it just sucks. So we just got to be supportive and hope everyone recovers and is okay, and look forward to whatever good times are coming in the future and go Niners,
Tony, I love the attitude. Thank you for the call. Here's all I will say about that. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with fans expressing frustration or any opinion, no matter how wild or crazy or emotional as it may be.
Even if the opinion is that Kyle Shanahan gets his quarterbacks hurt?
I'm allowed to say that that's ridiculous. There's nothing wrong with feeling it.
Okay.
You can feel it. You can share it. I think it's absurd.
I agree, but that opinion, I was just trying to come up with an opinion that might get you to rethink that statement.
No. Again, I don't think there's ever anything wrong with it. I reserve the right to be like, that's stupid or absurd or wrong or whatever. Like, and that is how I feel about that one. I mean, the Shanahan thing, that's where I sit. It's very strange to me that is going through some fans' minds. This conversation broke out on Steiny and Goo. I was listening to it earlier today about, would you take Belichick? Would you get rid of Kyle for Belichick? And they were both sitting there talking. They're like, why? Guru goes, I know Bonte and Joe would, and I bet Willard and Dibbs would too. And then someone texts in right away and goes, Mark Willard would absolutely not.
And I would not either.
Of course not. I actually think it's a bananas idea, and my immediate response would be, did Belichick never have a bad year?
Right.
Like, what?
Did he ever have a good year with a bad quarterback?
No, I don't.
Right.
Like, it's the changing of history. When emotionally frustrating things happen, is pronounced. It is pronounced. It's just like how Michael Jordan never lost a playoff series. Never.
Yeah, he actually never won a real playoff series for about 8 years of his career.
Like, go to the internet. It's there. Bill Belichick had bad years. Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan. Maybe this is that. Maybe it's I'm not here to tell you he's coaching his butt off this year. It's going very poorly.
Well, this is a big weekend now.
Yeah.
And now you don't have your quarterback.
We can state all that. But that is my opinion, that if you take the frustration of this year and your brain goes to fire Shanahan and Lynch, you're emotional.
Yeah. Especially when you look at the injuries.
You're emotionally out of control with regard to this topic, in my opinion.
Well, and I think you look at the track record and it's a non-starter. It's a non-issue and it's something that you wouldn't even consider. I do look at this weekend and wonder what he's going to do differently to try to make this work.
Let's go to Rob in Castro Valley. We'll play the Shanahan for you here in 2 minutes. Rob, hey, you're on Willard and Dibbs. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say nobody's brought up about doing something about this offensive line.
What would you like to do about it?
Continually, I mean, let's draft some linemen. Instead of always going after receivers, there's no chance of him throwing to the receivers if he's not being protected and running for his life a lot of the time.
So, Rob, two things. And, Dibs, I bet you have and stay right where you are, Rob. I bet you, A, have the numbers on how the offensive line is performing. But, Rob, was Pooney in the third?
Yeah, last year.
Does that not count if they address it in the third round and they got someone who's playing really well?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh.
Yeah, that does start to address it. It just seems like they haven't been addressing it as much as they should over the last few years.
Yeah, I get that.
Aaron Banks was a second-round pick in 2021, and he still is playing and starting.
He's been pretty good.
Right, and, you know, they did draft McKivitz, and he was a fifth-rounder in 2020, and now he needs to be replaced. And the whole idea about tanking, forget tanking, let's just say you struggle to the finish line, there are three or four tackles in most mock drafts that are going to be gone by the time you get to the 14th pick. So that would be the only upside to a bad finish, is you might find your way into one of these really good tackles that'll be available.
What are the metrics right now on the Niners offensive line?
According to PFF, and I checked the other day, they were, I think, top 10 overall in offensive line play. They were number 15 in pass blocking, number 1 in run blocking.
Yeah.
Number one.
That doesn't feel right. But, I mean, Jordan Mason he had a lot of good games.
Yeah.
Especially early, he had a lot of good games.
And they, as a rushing team, they are yards per play. They're one of the top rushing offenses in football.
Don't forget, we're only an hour away from Warrior basketball right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors in New Orleans. Tip-off set for 4:30. Warriors Live is right around the corner, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're also sponsored by Lucky California. We want you to hear on an important day like this everything that Kyle Shanahan had to say right after practice. So here it is, Shanahan earlier today from the Niners facility.
Injuries for the game. Charvarius Ward will be out. Jacob Cowing out. Tatum Bethune out. Kevin Givens out. Nick Bosa out. Brock Purdy out. Trent Williams questionable. Feliciano questionable. Go ahead.
Is there any development with Brock's shoulder where it got downgraded during the week, and is there long-term concern for him?
I don't want to say there's long-term concern. We got the MRI on Monday. We thought he just needed some rest, and really weren't concerned about him not being good this week. But when he started up Thursday, just surprised him, surprised us how it felt. So we had to shut him down, and so I really don't know what to think of it. You know, the MRI doesn't look like that, so it should be all right. But the way it responded this week, it's really up in the air for next week. So we'll have to see on Monday.
Did it happen on the touchdown run?
He doesn't know in particular. I don't think so, but he can remember a play that specifically happened on.
Things where, as time went on, it just started to bother
him. This was complaining about how tight it was throughout the game, and it started happening throughout the game. That's why he was warming up just a lot more than usual. He said he had a hard time keeping it loose, and then after the game is when it really started to hurt, and then Monday morning is really why he had to go get an MRI for it.
Will Brandon Allen start?
Yes.
What do you like about Brandon?
I think Brandon's a really good thrower, runs our offense well. He's done a really good job since he's been here. Been here 2 years now, and guys believe in him, and believe he'll give us a good chance to win.
What is one of the positives about Brandon, that the offense doesn't change very much with him in there, that he's like Purdy in a lot of ways, that you don't really skip a beat?
There's not a big game plan adjustment. You know, this is something that we didn't think would happen early in the week. So we were fully preparing for Brock to go, and getting a little surprised about this on yesterday. Nothing has to change. So that's a good deal for us.
Without Purdy, I mean, the situation, obviously doesn't look great. It's the NFL. I mean, everyone will say, oh gosh, you guys have no chance. Things have happened. I guess, what is your message to the team when you face this kind of adversity?
I mean, I think we've had a real good week of practice. You know, I know it's disappointing. You know, we knew there was a chance for Nick. You know, I think the guys were a little surprised with Brock yesterday, but we addressed all that today, and we're going to have 48 guys in uniform, and I know our guys believe in themselves. I believe in them. We're missing two good players, definitely, but we got a lot of good players out there, so by no means do you not have a chance to win. So we're going to go fight our tails off and expect this to be a real good game.
With Mooney, he just needed some more time to kind
of... Yeah, I mean, just taking 3 full weeks off, you know, it's not like dealing with all that stuff. He's getting workouts in or anything like that. So we were just happy to get him back in the building this week. We didn't want to put any pressure on him by any means to get ready to play. He just wanted to get back into the field. He had 2.5 good days of practice. I say half just because of what today's like. But hopefully he'll be good to go next week.
Has Tran showed progress, or is it still right up to kickoff?
No, it's still right up to kickoff.
The fact that you went through 3 quarterbacks a couple of years ago and still made the NFC Championship give the team hope, knowing that you've been through this kind of adversity before?
I don't think they look at it that way. I mean, it's good to have that story and stuff, but I think why they have hope is because they're with Brandon every single day. So, I mean, I know outside of here, people haven't seen a lot of Brandon because he hasn't had to go in yet. But this is Brandon's second year. They see him on scout team all the time. And, you know, obviously guys want Brock up, but guys are excited to see Brandon play.
Given that Brandon had been sort of in the, you know, your coaching tree, so to speak, with Sean and with LaFleur and Zach Taylor, who had been with Sean, and did he get here? Did he pick things up quickly as soon as he got here?
I mean, he picked things up just being a vet and stuff. I'd say the coaching tree is a little overrated. I mean, just, you know, it branches off. We're all from the same places, but he looks at things where he's been. Things are all subtly different, but he's got a lot of experience, been around a while, and he's been comfortable. We've been comfortable with him since his first day here.
How did Charvarius Ward get through practice this week, and just where is he at?
I thought he did a real good job getting through the week. You know, we threw him out. He got to ease in there, doing all the scout team stuff. You know, I thought he really gave us good looks all week. Got his body feeling, you know, just more confident each day. Just talking to him, I think he's in a good spot. And we all know he's grieving a lot, and you know, that really probably never fully, we know that never fully stops. But I think it has been somewhat therapeutic for him to get out on the football field and things like that, and be able to focus a little bit on his craft for just a little bit. And but he's always going through that, and it's nice that we can be here for him as much as we can with him back in the building.
Disappointed, as he would expect to be when he wasn't the backup. How has he been as the third guy all year, running the scout team, doing what you asked? And
he's been awesome. I mean, it's you know, they split the scout team reps, you know, so they both get equal reps over there throughout the year, and really loved having him in the room, and he's been great on the field too.
You got Jordan Love. Yeah, what do you like about him? What's unique about him?
Just how big of a threat he is. I mean, he's a thrower. He can make. There's not a throw he can't make. I love his mindset, how aggressive he is. I mean, he's always trying to end Joe. He's always going for the big plays, and he's got the skill set with his feet too, that when things aren't there, he can make a lot of plays. Big, tall guy, very athletic, and we know how good he's been these 2 years, and he's going to be good for a long time.
Will Brock stay behind for treatment rather than...
No, he'll come with us.
What's that?
He'll come with us. No, Bosa will stay here. All right, guys.
Okay, that's interesting there at the end. What do you make of that? Nick Bosa stays home, Brock Purdy goes on the road.
More helpful to have Brock there to sit on the sideline and, like, open up the tablet with Brandon.
Yep.
I don't know what Nick can do. Hey, you know, you need to, like, bull rush him a little bit harder. I'd go with the spin move if I were you. So the quarterback being there, I do think there's added value in it.
Nick could show up to the winning team on-field interview.
He could.
He could do that.
Yeah, he's allowed to, yeah.
No, actually, he's not allowed to do it the way he did it before. But anyway, speaking of which, Brock Purdy being there to help Brandon Allen. I thought this was maybe the most interesting thing Brandon Allen said today. Listening to him talk, now he's been in the league much longer than Brock Purdy. Listening to him talk about what he's learned from Brock in terms of getting ready for a football game.
Yeah, no, he's unbelievable the way he prepares, and you kind of have to be able to execute this offense well. And there's a lot of motions, a lot of shifts, a lot of things that go into it, and to be on top of all that, and you know, you've seen him on the road doing all that with silent cadence and all that, so there's a lot that goes into it, and his preparation kind of was, when I first got here last year watching him do it, I was like, okay, this is kind of how you have to study here, because you can go other places and offenses aren't as complex, aren't as difficult, so you can still study, but you know, you're looking at the same things week to week. But in this offense, you know, we really, really do a good job moving guys around and getting guys open. So there's a lot of studying that goes into it. So watching him prepare and the way he does, I've definitely tried to model my preparation after him.
I mean, can we grab that for the crowd that's like, will you please let Brock, you know, will you give it, will you put more on his plate? Listen to Brandon talk. Brock might have, and I've heard this from receivers before too,
yeah.
Kyle Shanahan's offense might be asking the most of his players of any offense in the league.
And Kyle's already said that, where he puts a lot on Brock. And so everyone on the, why won't you let him audible train, and you know who you are who says that, you're an idiot. It's not about audibles. It's about everything that Brandon just said, the shifting, the motions, the movement, the traffic coppery that has to go on. He has a lot on his plate, guy. Not Haberman.
We need to shift right now as well.
I'd love to.
To Warriors Live. There's a game in less than an hour.
It's a big game, Mark.
Warriors Live is next on 95.7 The Game.